Under the Hood with Fred Fletcher.
In the house. America's mechanic always on duty.
Doctor's in the house.
That's right. Oh, man. We could use something, couldn't we? It goes from now it's 90 degrees and we're whining about that.
One to the other. I mowed my lawn yesterday for lunch hour and then I had to take a shower afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to stink anybody.
Drip dry on that one, yeah.
It comes on, and I like the heat. I'd rather have this than the cold.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'd take that any day.
As I'm getting older, it's a little rough either way. So.
Yes. Yeah, and 2 days ahead of time when it's going to rain, because your legs, your back hurts, everything.
I know it's going to rain 2 days from now. Tomorrow, that's Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Mother Nature hates racing.
Yeah. Well, I've got the uni working today.
You feeling a need for speed?
I do. Or
just have to hold on to it for a
I'm 72. I feel the need for half speed, so I can get halfway there.
Yeah, just hold on to that for a half an hour, and then we'll fulfill your dreams,
John. All right. Hey, we're going to think some cool thoughts today about air conditioning.
Talks about some air conditioning because I'm expecting the onslaught of phone calls now that the temperature's 90,
and then some.
As soon as it hits like 70, we start getting it.
Yeah.
But which is fine. I mean, that's what we're there for. We're there to fix your car. Just be patient because we're booking about a week and a half out now.
Boy, you can't think of the old days when there wasn't air conditioning in the shops and stuff, and how you had to plow through that.
Yeah, there's no air conditioning in my shop.
Yeah.
There's
air
conditioning in the reception area.
Yes, for us, for we customers out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're still at the mercy of the elements there, right?
Yeah. Well, you get the sun beating down on there. But the shop's not too bad. The guys get their fans and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and in cold weather, it was frostbite. You can't work, right?
Or it's, yeah. There is heat in the shop, so yeah. I do have a high, I think. I'm not that bad.
Boy, you're going to be employer of the month with that. I got heat.
Almost air conditioning. Yeah, well, I'm good.
Hey, 215-949-3232. You want to talk to Fred? America's mechanic, ladies and gentlemen.
But we can put air conditioning in your car.
That's right. Think of cool.
Fix it.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of things coming up with mostly compressors nowadays. I think what happened is happens every year is as they sit, they become like stuck, rust, whatever. Lack of maintenance. If you don't use your air conditioner, now the air conditioner will come on at certain points when you have the defroster on. Yeah. But
use it or lose it, right?
You're going to have to use it. I'll turn the air conditioner on a couple times, get that refrigerant through there, because a lot of people don't realize the refrigerant has an oil base to it, and that keeps all like the bearings and the pistons inside the compressor. It keeps that all rolling. It helps move along the refrigerant, so it keeps everything lubricated, everything fresh for when you get that first hot day and you fire it up and it's not a blowtorch in your face.
That's probably the case too with cars that aren't used a lot. I mean, you get older and maybe you don't use the car the way you used to, and so you're on the car twice rather than five days, and lack of use can also be a deterrent.
It's almost as bad as using it, putting 20,000 miles a year on.
Yeah.
So we've had a couple cars in this week. It's been kind of humorous. One was a 2017 Chevy truck with 5,500 miles on it. Beautiful truck.
Wow.
And I think he's listening too, as one of our listeners. All right, Mr. Gallagher. Yeah, that's for you.
Yeah, okay.
It's a beautiful truck, and it's 5,500 miles on it. In 8 years, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually have. Sometimes you just get good luck with the cars that you have. Mm-hmm. I mean, a breakdown happened when you could get help or get towed or whatever, right. And somehow the winter was not as nearly as bad as you thought. So that kind of
right.
And we've had it. Last winter was pretty rough.
This past winter wasn't. It was long.
Yeah,
it seemed very long.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had frigid. A couple years ago we had where it was frigid, but it was long and cold and drawn out. So,
yeah, I remember somewhat. Yeah.
Even up to last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Miserable last Wednesday.
Yeah, you used to look out the bank on the clock, at the bank there, and you see 2 or 3 degrees.
Yeah.
I just want to go home after that.
Yeah, we had a couple of really cold days this year. I didn't see any negatives, but a couple of nines.
A couple of single digits.
I remember here. About 10 years ago when it was like constantly.
It was 2014 or 15.
14 and 15. I remember being like 9 degrees for a week.
The hoses were basically disintegrating. It was just crumbled.
Well, they were freezing up, and the rubber hoses, if they're disintegrating, you should have had them changed way before that.
Yeah.
But you don't see that much anymore with the nitrile hoses.
Yeah.
The air conditioning, the refrigerants and the newer cars, I'm going to say let me use a round number, 5 years. It might be a couple of years old.
Yeah.
Longer than that. The new refrigerant, the 1234YF, is very expensive right now.
Hmm.
Hopefully it comes down like the 134 did back in 1993 when that came out. That was very expensive. And then as that came down in price, the previous R12, which you don't see anymore, that went real high.
That's weird. That's a little strange there.
Well, the supply and demand.
Supply and demand or lack of.
Yeah, supply and demand. And then people weren't really happy with the 134 back in the 90s. So they tried to stick with the 12 as long as they could, the R12. it was getting depleted and they weren't making any more because it, quote unquote, hurt the ozone.
Lost leader there.
So I think it was just a matter of the government at the time saying, yeah, we need to have something different.
Yeah.
Because
not any better, just different.
Yeah. Because after doing research on the 134, it really, over the years, it really didn't help the ozone.
Yeah. Should have 141. That's more of a lucky number. That would be a luckier number as far as I was concerned.
You're always good when a 141.
That's right.
So, but the 134, they found out, didn't just not help the ozone the way they thought, it also caused cancer. So it was one of the contributors to cancer. So you had to be careful. We had to all have all kinds of stuff. You don't just vent 134 in the air and start huffing it. Because, you'll end up sick. But and the 1234 out now, supposedly even better for the ozone, which I don't know if that's a step up or not. I haven't heard any cancer causes. But
how about the supply chain stuff, Fred? You've been
it's getting tougher.
It's still tougher?
It cleared up for a while, but it's getting tougher again. And
okay. Summertime now, they were kicking in and the vacation stuff, too.
I'm thinking the tariffs have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Not the tariffs. The people's reaction to tariffs.
Tariffs, yeah.
So a lot of places aren't stocking what they used to because of the way the tax laws are going. Because you get paid on you get charged taxes on what your inventory is at the end of a month.
Yeah.
So they're constantly playing with the inventories.
Yeah. So you just hold your inventory down a little bit, try to skate for a little bit and see what happens, and then try it again. Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you all get used to something or other that works for you, and eventually you say, well, what the heck was I doing? I should have just well enough alone and write it out. Maybe I would have been better off, but at some time you feel like you try to do something or maybe think about doing something.
Right, with the parts being harder to get, people have to be a little more
patient.
Understanding and patient with us because we are doing all we can. When I get a car in there and I have my hierarchy of who I call for parts and my order of preference.
Yeah.
Because I'll maybe call this company for this one because I know their particular components are a little better than the other three or four other places.
Yeah.
But then, price is like third the way down on my, hierarchy list.
Yeah.
I would better on my, because I would rather have a good part and do it once.
Yeah.
And maybe pay $20 more, and hopefully the customer feels the same way.
Yeah.
So, because if I spend $800 on an AC compressor at one place, and it's $840 at another place, but I know that that brand is better than the one for $800, I'm going to recommend you to get the 840 because I know it's not going to come back, it's less likely to come back.
Recidivists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm doing it for free. You're out of a car for another day or so.
Yeah.
and you know it's just not worth the for. And you know, I want to guarantee it as long as I can.
Right, and that's just sound business, right? Yeah. There, you just have to wait it out every once in a while.
We have customers that do want the cheapest part.
Yeah,
and I can respect that to a point.
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to have to realize that I can't guarantee everything that's absolutely the cheapest.
Yeah. For at least for me personally, I would rather trust somebody that would know.
Yeah.
I'm not itemizing, that was, over the bill. You know what? You got your car back. It's fixed. You're back on the road.
That's how it
You know what? maybe
that's
just me. You know what? You just... You're inconvenienced. You're back on the road. You're back in the
I
game again.
I felt like you did.
I know. Well, you know what though? When you're inconvenienced, nothing fits, and all of a sudden you got your car back. Everything's going good.
Right.
Fine. You know, there's a little like a customer satisfaction out of that.
Right.
Hey, so you know, I didn't have to wait nearly as long. I got some work done. They work with you a little bit. I got a guy works downtown with our family and everything, and he's the same philosophy. Hey, I'm doing the best I can here.
Yeah. Well, I had a customer come in, and they wanted the cheapest catalytic converter. So the cheapest catalytic converter that I know of, and catalytic converters are expensive, so I get where they're coming from.
And they get stolen.
Well, that's another conversation. But the catalytic converter, she wanted the cheapest one. I said, I don't recommend putting the cheapest one on because in the past, I've tried this one a number of times and every single one came back. So she goes, I said, this is the one I recommend. It's a couple $100 more. She goes, I don't want that. I said, but I can stand behind this one, wholeheartedly. Yeah. She goes, I want the cheapest one. And I told her to go somewhere else because it's 3 hours to change that catalytic converter. And I'll,
What's coming back. Boomerang.
I'm not a gambling man, but the odds on that one coming back were pretty much all.
Yeah.
In. So yeah. I was like, I would rather not do the job and then you go somewhere else and be unhappy with somebody else than me.
Yeah, and your long view versus their short view. So that's kind of where you're at. And let's face it, for us, it's sometimes tough to see the light about that. You know,
from the outside looking in, you would think, and I do too, all catalytic converters should be similar. All parts
make sense. That would make sense.
All AC compressors should be similar. Why is this one 800 and this one's 1200?
Yeah.
Why is this catalytic converter 600 and this one's 1100? It's hard to wrap my head around it being as a customer saying, why is this? Why is this one so much more?
Yeah.
But there is so much more, like in a catalytic converter's case, the one for $1,100 has so much more substrate in there. That's all the metals and stuff that make it work. That's what makes it work. That's what makes it more expensive. That's what makes it being able to stand behind. That's why it's extra dollars. The cheapest one's got maybe a third of the substrate that's in there.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably could have called. I told you so on a few times.
Right now I'm getting to the point where I've been trying to take care of the customers, but the parts are coming back, and it's putting me in a bad position, so I'm going to have that conversation with more people, unfortunately, than I had with that girl the other day.
Right,
So I don't like having those conversations. It's not fair to the customer, but it's the position that the manufacturers and all the powers that be other than me, because I'm happy to put in, I wish the good one was $600. I wish this good one was $400.
Yeah.
I don't, I would just want to put a good part in and then not have you come back and be unhappy.
Yeah, right. And your the repairs, you don't want to do a repair that it's going to come back. That's two repairs now.
That's two repairs
for one.
And if you're any kind of decent, business person, you're going to take care of the customer.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can go tell them to go pound sand somewhere, but what good does that do you?
Yeah.
So that we have to change our philosophy a little bit to we have to teach the customers to change some of their philosophy.
Right. Too. Yeah. Right. Because you start you get a couple repairs, and all of a sudden you lose faith in your faith in your car. I think what's going to happen next?
Just as I lost faith in that one brand of catalytic converter.
Right.
The customer's looking on the outside, looking in, going to lose faith in Fletcher's Garage.
Right.
And I don't want that. I didn't spend 40 years doing this just to,
Just to send it down the line and we'll see you later. Yeah.
Yeah. just to keep blowing people off and stuff like that. No, that's not me.
Yeah.
So, because all parts are not the same, and you know, all brake pads are not the same.
And every once in a while, it's recall city on everything, right? Cars, a lot of recalls, some parts that were delivered aren't very good. I mean, or defective. There's a defective rate on everything, right?
Yeah, and there's very little quality control now since the COVID, and they got rid of a lot of
middlemen.
Downsized a lot of departments and stuff like that. And,
It was bad during COVID. More than anybody remembers that. And where you are now, maybe a little inconvenience. That's nothing compared to 5 years ago.
Yeah,
not even close.
I mean, it's still got a lingering effect here.
And, yeah.
Because some of the companies have found ways to not restaff those quality controls or trying to work around or rolling the dice and just sending the part out anyway.
Yeah. But you know what? Sometimes you don't know when you're well off and then you have the COVID stuff and you're inconvenienced all the time and now you're inconvenienced a little bit. You know what? I'll sign for that rather than what we had before.
Right.
I mean, you got to have a good memory about this stuff.
Yeah, well, there too is some of the vitriol that's been carried over from COVID is still lingering.
Yeah.
And, right now it seems like an us against them type of deal, and I try to alleviate that.
That's right.
With the shop, because it's not me against you. I'm trying to keep you driving.
That's right.
Riding.
That's right.
So
if you keep it up, I'm going to have him send him over and have him mow your lawn.
Yeah. I'm going to have Nunzio over.
So. All right, 215-949-3232 to talk to America's mechanic, who's as hot as the weather right now. That's the way it works every once in a while. Yeah, you're a little feisty. Yeah, yeah. But you know you see something coming up, and you still get in a wreck. You know, some people are bound and determined. You know what's going to happen, and it happens anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
and the frustration builds on that too.
We had a conversation yesterday with somebody with brakes. He called and wanted a price on brakes on his car. I said, I don't like giving prices over the phone because they're usually wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to see what's going on with it. And they said, well, they told me I need brakes and rotors. I said, well, why do you need just brakes and rotors? And he told me what kind of car he had. It was a Mini Cooper. I said, well, there's a lot of different variations. He goes, look, they told me $720.
Who's they?
It was a big chain.
Okay.
So he says, can you beat that price? I'm like, I don't even know what you have.
Right.
You know, it's a Mini Cooper. There's probably seven different variations of that brake system.
Yeah, a Mini Cooper and a maxi price to fix it.
So, right? somebody used to give me a call, and I'd say, how much is this? I could do it with oil changes.
Yeah.
But, and that's actually getting hard, too. But, I said, I can't. There's too many variations of parts.
Yeah.
I can't just say, it's going to be $500.
Apples and oranges kind of thing.
And then you bring the car in, and I find other things that lead to the cause, and now it's going to be $800. And he's like, oh, no, you told me $500. So that puts me in a bad position and doesn't fix your car.
Yeah.
So the best way to do it is for have me check your car out, give you a heads up before.
I feel like sometimes you might be getting played a little bit, Fred. They throw this little nugget out there. What would you let's say for argument, what would you charge and kind of like, and then all of a sudden pull a trap door on? Well, you told me and I was told this. You know, well, you were told wrong.
Yeah.
How about that?
You
want answers?
That's why I stopped giving prices or any kind of over the phone diagnoses. That's just wrong.
That's right.
So.
Nathan R. Fletcher, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. You want answers?
Yeah, there you go. If you can't respect that, then you're welcome to go somewhere else.
It's usually somebody that's trying to sit there and maneuver around. And I don't think they're really interested in the repair. They want to see if they can...
See what they can get over on.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's a lingering effect I've seen from COVID. I mean, I know it's been throughout time since cavemen made the wheel. It seems more prevalent now.
But there was no warranty in those days.
Just go get another rock, make a
wheel. Okay, let's get to the phones. You're up with Fred. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jim. Fred, Mark Capel here.
Hey. Good to hear you from me.
Hey, I got a question. Nothing to do with what you were talking about, but
okay, good.
Something I was just thinking about. Just suppose, I'm going to give you a scenario. My car's in the garage, completely dead. No battery power, won't start, anything. And I have to get it outside. How do I get it out of park?
Okay, depending on the car, there should be a little override right next to the shifter.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a little tiny like cover. You can stick your key, well, if you have a key. You can stick a key or a little screwdriver or a nail file down in there. You can get your wife's nail file. Put it down in there and move it just a little bit, and it should release that.
Oh, and I will be able to get it out of park and push the car outside then or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, well, okay. Question answered. That's something that's been I've been thinking about for quite a while, and figure I'd like to call and get that checked out. So just in case, I hope it never happens, but if it does,
no,
thank you very much.
I'll let you borrow my nail file.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much, guys. I'll see you.
All right, Mark.
There you go.
Yeah, there is a lot of cars out there where they have like a little cover next to the shift gear shift handle on the floor console. It's a little bit different when you have a steering column console, but I don't know anybody that has that anymore. There's a little box next to it, and you can do it. Now, the higher-end cars, I think BMW, I don't think they have it. You definitely have to power it up somehow. Yeah. You can look in the owner's manual. There may be a different override. But for the most part, most American cars have that little box next to the shifter. You open it up a little bit. Sometimes you can stick your key down in there and just move it a little bit.
You get lucky.
It'll release. Yeah, it's a mechanical release, not the electronic release.
There's too much technology going on, Fred. I'm telling you, one of the days you could just run down the block and throw it in neutral and jumpstart those babies.
Yeah.
Now that I'm 72, the car would probably beat me down the road. I'd be lost.
Oh, I know. I don't even try it anymore. So.
I still fail to do that with my VW. I was great.
I did that with my Dega. Well, I actually see people getting back to the little shift override. Yeah. Now, what control on the electric part? What controls 99% of the vehicles on the release is the solenoid on the top side of the shifter that's activated by the brake light switch. So there's, I've seen people that are like, oh yeah, you got to put that little override on there to get my car to go. I'm like, that means you have no brake lights. They're like, I don't. Mm-hmm. I said, I've been riding around like this for months. I'm like, yeah, you have a bad brake light switch. He goes, oh, I figured it was just the solenoid on the side of the
car. Well, you know what? let's go on a limb here. You know what? If you can't get it out of park, there's no use talking about any other repairs that have to be done. That's it. You're done.
what happens is my
work is done. It's over.
What happens is they, with the park, thing, they'll go on YouTube and how to get my car out of park, because they're not even thinking about the brake lights not working. They're just thinking, wow, I can't get my car out of park.
Yeah.
Which is totally understandable because, But,
and that can lock up too.
So, the YouTube guys will tell you, oh, yeah, put the screwdriver down in there and you can just go. But with in reality, it's usually the brake light switch.
About that one. There you go.
I think I've changed maybe three solenoids in 30
You learn
years.
Something new all the time.
Yeah.
No need to do other stuff when you do it right the first time, right?
Yeah. I just know if somebody calls up and I said, I can't get my car out of park. Well, you got a bad brake light switch.
Yeah.
So, but in Mark's case, in the scenario he presented, it was a dead battery.
And this is a guy who knows a lot about cars, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and every once in a while, he said something really kind of buffaloes you a little bit, but it's not obvious, but it's a simple thing.
No, it's a simple thing that a lot of people overlook. And, when they first came out with these things, there would be a lot of misdiagnosed, and I'll be man enough to tell you, I misdiagnosed thinking it was a solenoid too. Once I started getting access to wiring diagrams and stuff, I started analyzing these things, and I'm like, nobody told me about the brake light switch. I figured it out on my own back in 1990.
Yeah.
So I was looking at a wiring diagram, and I'm like, wait a minute. The brake light switch goes to that solenoid. That's what powers up that solenoid. I stepped on a brake and didn't see any power going to the solenoid. So I go back. Okay, there's power at the brake light switch, but not on the other on the output side.
Let me solve it.
I jumped it. I jumped the switch harness. The solenoid worked. I'm like, son of a gun.
Yeah, well.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, maybe that's how you learn. You learn stuff through.
That's why they call it experience.
Right. Yeah, things go wrong, and then, you figure something out. And you say,
We didn't have YouTube back then.
No, I know it, but word of mouth or whatever you want to call it, you'll be amongst people owning shops, hey, this we got a car out there that's sort of like messing around, and they used to talk to each other years ago. There used to be a fraternity of this kind of stuff. Growing up, they said, hey, you know, a guy borrowed a part from me and he owes me something or other. And there was more of a collaborative effort back in the day.
I mean, we had that because we had to have that.
You're helping
us. We didn't have YouTube and the access to YouTube is much more efficient than, you know, calling the guy down the street and hoping he calls you back or answers the phone. But, there was a guy down the street from me who specialized in Mopars, you know, Chrysler, Dodge. And he was the absolute whiz with Mopar. Not so much with GMs and stuff like that, but he's concentrated on Mopar. And me and Dad were mostly GM.
I
played around with Fords. But, we pretty much did everything. But if I had a Dodge in there and I could not figure it out, or Chrysler, I'd get on the phone, hey, Dave, you know, this is what I got. He'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the lean burn computer, or that's the ballast resistor. You know, he'd be right every time.
Yeah. So. But you know what? That goes through the knowledge. The next time it happens, you're right on it. Yeah. I mean, it's literally a good learning tool that you know you're going to see it again and again, right? So there's always a pattern with some kind of makes of cars and defects or whatever. They have certain amount of... something goes wrong, and he said, "Boy, I've seen this one before."
Funny story. Back in the '80s, before I met my wife, my ex-girlfriend's mother's boyfriend, driver of a long convoluted thing. He had a Dodge truck, and he was broke down in Maryland, and it would go about 20 feet and shut off. Let's even say it went a half a mile. Well, he drove it all the way back from Maryland. You know,
good luck.
Wow. It's insane. So we got up there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it starts up and runs. You just couldn't take off on it. So we're like, it starts up, idles, runs, goes about 20 feet and shut off. I called Dave down the road. This is when they first came out with the lean burns. This had to be like 1984. And I called him up, and I said, Dave, I got this Dodge truck. In fact, I know it was a 1981 Dodge 1500. And he's like, no, check the air cleaner. So what the hell has the air cleaner got to do with it? Is it there?
I'm like,
no, it's gone. So he's like, yeah, well, the lean burn computer's attached to the air cleaner. I'm like, get the hell out of here. So I called the guy that owns the vehicle, and I'm like, yo, where's your air cleaner? He goes, somebody stole it when I was down in Maryland. I said, well, that's your problem.
Theft is the problem. You can't trust anybody.
If I'd known that, I would have bought an air cleaner down there, which was at the time like $1,400. But
the picture of, I remember when you serviced Robin's car and it was an air filter. It was as dark as the night when he was only Toledo. I said, here's one, but it still sticks in my mind.
Yeah,
15
years
ago.
That was choking the car.
Yeah, and you went out, well, here's, you actually presented the part, which is...
we do show the parts.
Show your work, as they say, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I said, I had to sit down for a couple minutes. Man, really?
Yeah, some people just...
You don't forget stuff like that one. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many people looked at it before.
Right.
Didn't look. We check almost every single time with the air filters.
Oh, you're in the... a lot of it's just, it's in the moment, and then you're back out on the road. There's not a lot of, like, thinking about preventative care or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, where we're, you know, we don't think about, tires are bald or whatever the heck it is. And just
That's our job. Yeah, when we get it in for an oil change, a lot of people complain about this. And I saw an actual video this morning on this where it was presented that a guy brought it in. I just want an oil change.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I'm going to look at the stuff. He goes, no, I just want an oil change. I said, fine, we'll give you just an oil change, but we'll look at things while we're there, which we do. And this guy was adamant. He just wanted an oil change. So what'll happen is you just do the oil change, and 2 weeks from now the guy needs brakes. Of course he's going to come back to you and say, "How come you didn't see my brakes when I did the oil change?" Because you just wanted an oil change.
That's also a catch 22.
I don't charge for those checks.
No, but the catch 22, Fred, is that I just want this because a lot of these chains, are sitting there baiting you. Here's what I want to do, and then they put two other things there. and everybody throws up their line of defense. It's not smart, but it's just a reaction.
Yeah, and I get it, because we actually had that last week with a friend of mine. Her son went to a big chain because we were too busy to do the oil change, and they told him he needed an air conditioning service, and it was the expensive Freon. It was going to be $1,200.
You're always on guard.
So they brought it in. They wanted to see what was wrong with the air conditioner, because he said, I don't feel anything wrong with it. And they're telling me there's something wrong with it. So we brought it in. Absolutely everything was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. So, but they were telling him he needed a service, and it was going to be $1,200, and that was a big chain. I don't know if it was Jiffy Lube or whatever. I get what the defense mechanisms that get kicked up when
you're on your guard, and it's predatory kind of thing, and at the same time, it could burn you because it's legit.
Yeah, on my end, it's my job to make sure you've got a good car.
Yeah.
I don't charge. I don't push.
Yeah.
I will tell you, if you need tires and you say no, okay.
Okay. And then you're not allowed to call the show anymore.
Yeah.
All right.